chapter 2, verse 14.
Ephesians 2, verse 14.
Page 1251 in your old Scofield Reference Bible, Ephesians 2:14. For he, that is Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God. Notice in this, I'm just going to read through verse 18, and notice the many times peace is mentioned in here. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace. Oh, that's the greatest thing in the world, peace. Peace in our hearts, peace with God, peace among men, peace with our fellow man, peace among nations, and came and preached peace. This peace he's talking about here is the peace there is in Christ Jesus. To you which are far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. Let's bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the peace that there is in a heart that's been saved and redeemed and cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, through him we have access right into the presence of the Father this morning. We don't have to go through some priest, but we are a kingdom of priests unto God. We're royal priesthood this morning, we who are saved. Thank you we can come to God for ourselves today. What a high and a noble privilege we have in Christ Jesus today. Thank you that wall has been broken down and we can come into your presence today for ourselves, we who are redeemed. And bless, I pray now, thy word to our hearts today. Lord, help us to rejoice in this great freedom that we have, we who are saved. And those that don't know this freedom, may they come to Christ today and, Lord, enjoy the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Bless everything that goes on these grounds today, in the other churches and here in this auditorium. Bless hearts that are bereaved and hearts that have problems and needs. And God, we look to thee today and just bless. And I pray for Donna, Lord, up there in New York, that you'd make that surgery a success so she could walk again. God, would you do that and comfort hearts, meet needs, have your way, be glorified in this service. Lord, help us all to be just conscious to get our minds on the Lord and give him the glory for everything that goes on. May we worship him. May we continue to worship him in spirit and truth. Defeat the devil and hindering spirits. Minister to us through the word by the Spirit of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, the events of the last couple of weeks or so in Berlin and East Europe remind me of the little ditty we all learned back early in grade school. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. And the Berlin Wall came tumbling down, thank the Lord, on Thursday, November the 9th, and the great horde of Germans came through the gates and through the cracks in the wall there, and they met each other, the East Germans and West Germans there, and they were dancing on the wall, they were hugging total strangers, and they were all rejoicing. And to me it was an exciting political event, one of the most exciting political events that's happened in my lifetime. Now, we hope all those communist bosses will not be able to stem the tide of democracy symbolized by the opening of the Berlin Wall. But as we rejoice in this, you know, a greater wall than the Berlin Wall came tumbling down almost 2,000 years ago. When Jesus died on Calvary, and shed his precious blood, the middle wall of partition between a holy God and sinful man, members of Adam's fallen sinful race, that wall was broken, and now we can go through that wall and we have access into the very presence of God through the finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're dancing on we're dancing on the walls there in East Berlin. But folks, we who know the Lord and have access to God through Jesus today, we have something far greater to shout about and dance about this morning. And the Old Testament temple succeeded, as you know, the Mosaic tabernacle, the tabernacle in the wilderness there. And in the Old Testament temple, there were four different sections partitioned off. There was the first of all in the temple, there was the court of the Gentiles. And no non-Jewish people could not go beyond the court of the Gentiles. And there was a partition there. And then the next court was the court of the women. And Israeli women could not go beyond that court. And they were partitioned off. There was a partition. They couldn't go any farther. And then there was then the court of Israel, or the court of the men, the next section was just for the Jewish men. And a wall kept the women out. And then beyond the court of the men, the court of Israel, was a court of the priests. And no one but priest could go in that court. Is Brother Bob back there? Bob, would you go turn the baptistry off for me, please? I'm up here preaching, and that buzz is going on while I'm preaching here. You might not even know anything about it. I know it's back there, and so we'll get that off. But anyway, the court, there was the fourth court in the temple, was the court of the priest. And no one but the priest could go in that court. And then there was a wall of partition keeping everyone out. And then there was the veil, that it was a thick, 4-inch thick veil between the court of the priest and into the very most holy place. And sinful man, No man could go in through that veil into the presence of a holy God except the high priest one time a year on the Day of Atonement. And when Christ, though, came almost 2,000 years ago and died on Calvary, he did away with all of the walls separating man from man and man from God. And we are one in Christ today, and we have access to the Father through the blood of his cross and through the death of Christ on Calvary's cross. Now, over in Galatians, look at Galatians, the third chapter, verse 28. Galatians 3, 28. Galatians 3, 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. That means there's racial prejudice, national prejudices are done away with in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is neither bond nor free. And that is class prejudice, economic prejudice. Those prejudices are done away with in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all one. The cross is a great leveling factor, isn't it? I mean, the rich and the poor meet together on the same ground at the foot of the cross. And then there's neither male nor female. That doesn't mean that there's certainly no distinction in the sexes. It means that we're all one in Christ. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross. And notice it says, for ye are all one in Christ. And then there in the temple there was a wall between the priests and the Israelites. There was a wall between the clergy and the laity. And that wall has been done away with in Christ today. Now, I am a preacher, but I don't have any powers that you... I'm a human being same as you are. You might not believe it sometimes. I feel just same as you do, and have emotions same as you do. And preachers today, we're just sinners saved by the grace of God. And I'm a member of the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, except God just sovereignly every now and then calls some man to preach his gospel. And he calls men to pastor the churches. But we're all one. There's no great separation. There's no mystical powers that I have as a preacher, except God's called me to preach. And so we're all a kingdom of priests. We're all a member of the family of God. We stand equal in God's sight. But the great wall that I'm mainly interested in this morning is the great wall that exists between sinful man and a holy God. That wall of sin that separates us, that the veil, no sinful man could not come into God's presence there in the tabernacle and later on in the temple, except once a year on the Day of Atonement. He brought the blood in, the priest did, to take care of the sins of the people for another year. And that veil kept sinful man out from going in to the presence of God. And I want to talk about that wall that this morning that fell almost 2,000 years ago, that wall of sin separating a holy God from sinful man. That wall was cracked, and there has been an opening made through that wall into the presence of God on Calvary's cross almost 2,000 years ago. I want to compare the cracking or the opening or the falling of that wall with the wall separating the East Berliners from freedom in West Berlin that fell almost 2 weeks ago. And I want us to compare these two this morning. There's some great spiritual comparisons we can make. Let's notice the building of that wall, the bondage of the wall, the barrier of the wall, and then the breaking down of these walls. First of all, the building of the walls. Berliners woke up on Sunday, August the 13th, 1961, to a 25-mile tangle of barbed wire around the zone there, Russian zone. Later it became block, and then they reinforced it with concrete. And many of you can remember that wall. And the communists built the Berlin Wall to keep their citizens from fleeing communist tyranny and going over into West Berlin and West Germany, where they can enjoy freedom, political freedom and economic freedom and spiritual freedom. And that wall was a great monument to the failure of communism. It's called by many names, a wall of infamy, the wall of shame. And I believe, like many, that we should have gone in when they went up and blasted it down because it was illegal. But that question is moot now. Thank the Lord it has come down, or has been opened temporarily anyway. But the middle wall of partition was built in the garden almost 6,000 years ago when Adam and Eve sinned. Until they sinned and disobeyed God and rebelled against God, man enjoyed personal fellowship with God. He walked and talked with God. And by the way, I don't have time to go into all the implications, but what we lost in Adam, what we lost in the garden, one day we'll regain in heaven, where God will be our God and we'll fellowship with Him in heaven. But they lost in the garden because of that sin, their sin. They lost this personal fellowship with God when they ate of the forbidden tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they lost that privilege of personal fellowship with God. And an angel stood at the gate to guard the Garden of Eden with a fiery sword and would not let Adam and Eve back in. And Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and when they sinned, they went and hid themselves from the presence of a righteous and holy God. And that enmity has been there for almost 6,000 years. That sin that's contaminated the human race and has robbed us of the privilege of fellowship with a holy God has been there for 6,000 years, and it stands today. Sinful man cannot approach a holy God except through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A sinner is shut off from God because of the wall of sin. That's why you need to get saved. That's why you need to come to Christ. And His blood gives us access into the very presence of God and to that wonderful fellowship we can have with Him. And Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Now if a sinner goes on in his sin and doesn't get the sin problem taken care of at Calvary, then he will be separated from the presence of God for all eternity. Folks, I believe right there will be the worst part of hell. The fire which will burn and never destroy man in hell is going to be bad enough. But I think the worst feature in hell will be eternal separation, unending separation from a holy God. If a person goes on in this sin, as Revelation 20 verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So dear friend, listen to me this morning. God's made a way. You don't have to go to hell. If you'll come to Jesus, that's why you got to come to Jesus and get saved and come to know Christ and get under the blood, that water and that church membership and that little goodness that you're trying to live up to won't get you to heaven and won't solve the sin problem. Man's main problem is sin. It separates him from God. That's why you got to get born again. If you're ever going to make it to heaven and you're ever going to have personal fellowship with a holy God. Then let's notice the bondage of the wall. The Berlin Wall kept the East Germans shackled over there behind the wall in communist, under communist tyranny, in bondage to this evil, godless, totalitarian system. Since 1961, they were in bondage behind that wall. They were not free to act or think or speak according to the dictates of their conscience. They couldn't go where they wanted to go. And the state held them in bondage behind that wall for 28 long years. It was a depressing existence, a morbid, weary existence, a zombie-like existence under the yoke of communism behind that wall. Freedom was just seemingly, after all these years to many, was an impossible dream. Now, I honestly thought that I wouldn't live to see the Berlin Wall open up in my lifetime. I thought it just looked too hopeless. I thought, well, eventually, over the next 50 to 100 to 150 years, finally, the corrupt communist system, anti-God system would come down. I just didn't believe I'd live to see it in my lifetime, but I'm glad that wall has been opened up, and at least temporarily there is freedom. Let me just say this. No one knows the full implication of the opening of the Berlin Wall and this surge of freedom that's sweeping Eastern Europe. Folks, we need to remember this. The communists are still in control over there. Do you know that? Huh? They're not giving up control yet. And I hope that our leaders are not caught up in the euphoria of this. And what we see is good, as long as we don't fall into a communist trap. Now, that's what I'm concerned about. And I'm suspicious of it. But I'm going to believe, I like to believe it's genuine. I hope it is. And because you know why I believe it's genuine? Because the communist system has failed. And mainly economically, it's failed. And what they're doing, it's about ready to collapse, and Gorbachev and these communist leaders realize that they have lost it, and this is a last-ditch, desperate move to restore some semblance of prosperity to a failed economic system. And this surge across freedom across Eastern Europe was an absolute necessity for a failed economic system. You know what they're hoping we'll do? They're hoping we'll come in and bail them out. That's what they're, and they're spending billions over their own military. Just remember, one of the reasons they're so poor in Russia, of over 25% of their budget is still on going into defense. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but just remember that the communists are still in control this morning over there. That might, I don't want to blunt your the expectancy you have, but we still need to remember that. But millions of East Germans were held in bondage until November 9th. And then the walls opened up. And they went through those walls and through the gates. Some of the walls were cracked so they could get through. And the gates were opened up. And they danced on the walls and rejoiced and embraced each other. And the West Germans gave them $55 of welcome money. And they went over there and spent that $55 and had a wonderful time of freedom when those walls opened up. And the mayor of West Berlin said the Germans were the happiest people in the world on that day. And they said the feeling was indescribable. But until Christ came almost 2,000 years ago, sinful man was shut off from a holy God. He was held in bondage by sin and Satan was and still is today a cruel taskmaster. But when Christ came, he provided freedom from bondage and from Satan. And every unsaved man and woman, boy and girl seated in this room today, or in this world, every unsaved person is in bondage to sin right now. You may not realize it, but if you have never been born again, if you don't know Christ, you're in bondage to sin. You may feel sorry for those of us who are saved. Listen, don't feel sorry for me. Do not feel sorry for me. I'm enjoying myself. I've been down to the river, and I know this thing works when you go right down to the chilly waters of death. You can face it unafraid. And so don't feel sorry for us who are saved. It is you who are in bondage to sin. Our master, we who are saved, our master is Jesus. If you're not saved, your master is the devil. And we who are saved, the Bible says we're children of light. And if you're not saved, the Bible says you are a child of darkness. Now the Bible says that. And only a saved person knows what real liberty is. The Bible has a lot to say about the bondage of sin. Proverbs 29:6 puts it this way. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. Evil is a snare, the Bible says. And then Christ described the slavery of sin in John 8:34, when he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant, the slave of sin." Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Only a saved person, only a person who knows Christ, is a free person. He's been delivered from the bondage of sin. John 8:36, Jesus said, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Are you free this morning? Are you free indeed? If you're in Christ, you are free indeed. Well, let's look at a third thing. Not only were the citizens of East Germany in bondage behind that Berlin Wall, but the wall was a barrier to freedom and liberty and opportunity. The wall was a barrier. Now they could watch television and watch the German, West German television, West Berlin television station, and they could see all those good things over there on the other side of the wall, just a few feet away and a few blocks away. That wall was a barrier to economic prosperity. And when they poured through those walls by, I think in just a few days, about 5 million people from East Germany went over into West Berlin and other places there, and went on one of the greatest shopping sprees in history took place. I just got to thinking, this is sort of wrong for me to think that way, but I thought, well, now can you imagine all those ladies on that shopping spree? Boy, I bet you they had a time. I bet the men enjoyed it too, though. But they went over into West Berlin and other border towns there, and these East Germans couldn't get over everything they saw. I mean, back in behind the wall in the communist-dominated territory, there was a scarcity of everything, and what and they just had a few items on the shelves, and the scarcity of those. And went over into West Berlin and West Germany and saw all of that plenty. It was mind-boggling. And one thing they bought up all the ice cream bars as soon as they got over there. I believe I'd have got me one, two, or three, or four, or five, don't you? Yes, sir. And so the shelves, they couldn't keep shelves in West Berlin, the items on the shelf, when these dear East Germans and East Berliners swamped over there into, crossed through the wall into free Germany. And the wall was a barrier to friends and loved ones and relatives. Many embraced relatives they hadn't seen for years and years and years. And some relatives embraced relatives that they had never seen before in this life. And they lived just a few inches or a few blocks away from them. The wall was a barrier to political and religious freedom enjoyed by the other West German countries. So, humanly speaking, the Berlin Wall was a barrier to everything decent and good and right and humane. Now, the middle wall of partition that exists between sinful man and a holy God is a far greater barrier than the Berlin Wall was to the East Germans. The Berlin Wall was just a barrier to temporal, material freedoms and temporal and material prosperity that could be only enjoyed just for a few years in this life. But the middle wall of partition that separates an unsaved man from the Lord God of heaven robs him not only of the blessing of God in this life, robs him, that wall between a sinful man and a holy God robs him not only of the presence of God in this life and all the blessing that we can enjoy in Christ Jesus now, but it robs him of the blessings that come to a saved person in the life which is to come. That wall of sin, that barrier between man and God, robs a man of the streets of gold. Robs him of the presence of God for all eternity. Robs him. Your sin, that barrier between you and God this morning, is a wall it's going to be a barrier to you of enjoying the presence of God for all eternity and reunion with all of the saints that have gone before. Man is a sinner, and he needs to get his sin problem taken care of so he can enjoy fellowship with the Lord God of heaven. Now, folks, fellowship with the Lord is the greatest thing we can enjoy in this life. I believe the greatest privilege we have as Christians is communion with God. And if you're not enjoying blessed communion with the Lord this morning, you're missing out on one of the greatest, sweetest privileges you have in this life. As the song says, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." What a privilege it is to fellowship with the Lord God of heaven. And the unsaved man knows nothing of fellowship with the Holy God. and with the Savior. And even carnal Christians who are walking afar from God know very little about this sweet communion. Sin is a barrier to fellowship with God. Then let's notice one other thing, the breaking down of these walls. That infamous Berlin Wall that was opened a few days ago because of, I think, and from reading the papers and magazines, because of communist failure seems to be the answer. The bulldozers moved in and moved parts of it away. The gates were opened up. Cracks in the wall gave way to the rush of millions of East Germans to their newfound freedoms. They danced and partied for days over there. And it was a great party, a freedom party, I'll tell you. If I'd have been there, I believe I'd have enjoyed the euphoria of the moment there. When the wall was opened up, dividing West Berlin and East Berlin and East Germany and West Germany. It was a glorious thing for those walls to come tumbling down. But a greater wall than the Berlin Wall was opened up almost 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 27, verse 51. Matthew 27, verse 51. Jesus had just died on the cross. And in Matthew 27, 51. And he had just cried with a loud voice. And he yielded up the ghost. Jesus died. And then in verse 51 it says, the word of God says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now notice that the veil torn was not the result of the earthquake. Notice how the word of the Holy Ghost laid it upon Matthew to write exactly what he put in there. Because the veil of the temple was torn first. And then, notice, it was torn in twain, rent in twain from top to bottom, and then the earth did quake and the rocks rent. I'm glad that when that old priest went in there right after Christ died and went in there and he found a veil, that veil was rent from the top all the way to the bottom. It was rent in the middle, in the midst, and split right down the middle. And because it was split right down the middle, then sinful man can walk right into the presence of a holy God. Man, sinful man, through the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, can walk right into the presence of the Lord God of heaven today. Look over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10, verse 19. I don't know why you set your watches at 12 o'clock, because I don't quit till I'm through, so they can all go off, that's okay. Was that your watch went off, Gary? Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Now notice now where we're going. Having therefore, brethren, brethren means those who know who have been born again. We're brothers if we've been born again. If you're not born again, you're not my brother in Christ. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, that is, we don't have to come up hesitatingly. We can boldly, with having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. What's the holiest? That's into the presence of God. How do we get into the presence of God? By the blood of Jesus. Now we ought to all stop and just shout right there. Do you know that? We ought to all just stop and praise the Lord right there. Then verse 20. By a new and living way. Now, what is the way we get into the holiest, the presence of God? by a living, new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. Now do you see that? The veil that in the temple that was split in twain as soon as Christ died was a symbol, a picture of the body of Christ that was broken and rent on Calvary's cross. And only through in the temple, they could only go into the through that veil. The veil shut man out. The high priest could go in there one time a year. But now, the veil has been rent in twain, and we who know Christ and we who are under the blood can have access into the very holy place, into the presence of God through a crucified Christ. Christ died and his torn body released body, blood and water through the wound in his side. And when his riven side gave forth that blood and water, that opened up a way for us to get in God, into God's presence. And this means when Christ's body was torn and rent on Calvary, that means that all walls and all barriers between God and sinful man have been torn aside. Isn't that wonderful? There's no barrier to you today to coming into God's presence if you'll come through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's freedom from sin and bondage behind that wall of sin. There's freedom for you to come on into the glorious freedom in Christ through the shed blood and the torn body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that, folks? If you don't see that, you can never see salvation. And if you are a stranger to God this morning, if you know not God, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. He sent his son to die on Calvary, and he tore down all barriers between sinful man and the holy God. God's done all he can do to save your soul. And so, you're invited to come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is the barrier, the Berlin Wall, so to speak, separating you and I from the freedom God has for us in Christ Jesus. But you know what Christ did? He cracked that wall on Calvary and opened up a way for us to get into the presence of God. So if you'll just come to Jesus and accept what he did for you on the cross, then God will forgive you of all your sins, and you can be reconciled to a holy God and have access into the very presence of God. There are no barriers, no walls between God and men if they're willing to trust Christ and just come on. So why don't you today, why don't you just come out from behind that wall that separates you from a holy God and come out from that bondage of sin and come on over into the glorious freedom that there is in Jesus Christ. The East Germans are enjoying their newfound freedom this morning since the wall was opened up. But the middle wall of partition between God and man has been opened. Why don't you just come on to Christ today and enjoy that wonderful freedom that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad as a young man, 13 years old, I didn't realize all this I've been preaching about today. I didn't realize that. I just knew that I wasn't saved and Jesus was a Savior. And I just came to him and he saved me that morning, that night. And he'll save you this morning if you'll come to him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you today, if you have experienced this glory of freedom that there is in Christ Jesus. Have you come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, if you would just come down to this altar this morning and humble yourself before God and receive Jesus, then you can come out of the bondage of sin and you can come through that wall into the glorious freedom there is in Christ Jesus. And you can have access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Are there those who are here today and say, "Preacher, I don't know that I've ever really trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know this peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know this blessed fellowship that you're talking about that we can have when we trust Christ as our Savior. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to commune with the Holy God and have fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know that today. And God's speaking to your heart and putting, maybe the Holy Spirit's putting a hunger in your soul right now for this freedom and this peace that there is in Christ. If the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning, down deep in your soul, that's what you need. You ought to get up in a few moments, come down this aisle, get on your knees and say to the Lord, we'll be glad to help you and pray with you. But if you were to say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm coming to Jesus. I want you to forgive me my sins. I'm coming to Christ and I want to be saved by your grace." And you can leave here free for the first time in your life. You're in bondage to sin if you're not saved. And you can walk out of here a free man, a free woman, a free boy, a free girl if you'll come to Christ today. You're in bondage to sin without Jesus. Come out of those shackles, spiritual shackles. Come to the glorious freedom that there is in Christ. Are there those this morning who say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've never really been saved." Or, "Preacher, I am a Christian, but I'm not enjoying that glorious freedom in Christ that I ought to. God's spoken to my heart today. Pray for me." Are there those who say, "Preacher, remember me in a closing word of prayer." Just slip your hand right up. Would you do it? Just slip your hand right up. Let me remember you in a closing word of prayer. "Preacher, pray for me this morning." Just slip you. I'll wait just a moment. "Preacher, there's a spiritual need in my life. Would you pray for me?" Right quick, right before we pray. Anyone? Yes, God bless you. God bless you, sir. Oh, you can come into that freedom today and come to know glorious freedom in Christ if you just come to Him. He'll save you and cleanse you and set you free. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let me pray for you. Just slip in right up. Man, woman, boy, girl, you've been longing for that peace for a long time. You'll only find it in Jesus. Anyone else? Right quick. Anyone else? Father, we thank you today for this privilege of preaching the glorious fact that the middle wall of partition has fallen. And we, through Christ, have access right into the very presence of God. Thank you for all that we have in Christ. I pray for everybody saved here today, Lord, that they would realize this great freedom they have and enjoy it and take advantage of this communion and fellowship we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for those here today that's never been saved, some young man or young woman or some man or woman, Lord, here without Christ, and they're in bondage to sin. May they be delivered and set free before they leave here. Pray for this gentleman that raised his hand. God, would you know all about him, and would you meet his need today? May he come down this aisle and come into that glorious freedom in Christ Jesus. May he cast himself on the Lord and trust also in the Lord and just look to Jesus and leave here on his way to heaven with his needs met. I pray. Have your way now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, that's my message. That's what I believe the Lord Mormon preached today. The glorious freedom, the wall separating man and God has been cracked at Calvary. Man can just come on in through Jesus into the presence of God. Hey, if God's speaking to your heart, you need to come, we'll be glad to pray with you and help you down here. Take the Word of God and show you how you can have this glorious freedom that's in Christ. Be saved, or if you need to rededicate your life, come on. Or if you need to join the church, come on. Let's stand and sing. Let's stand and sing. You who raised a hand, would you meet me right here and let's settle this thing. Come on to Jesus as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Just play through softly again here. Has God spoken to you? Need to come? Maybe you've been saved and you need to come and make it public. Maybe you need to get baptized. We're having a baptismal service tonight. Maybe you've never followed the Lord in baptism. You want to come and present yourself for baptism and follow the Lord. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to Christ and slip out while we continue to pray. You ought to do it. God will bless you. God will bless you.